This is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on podcast. This is podcast number 807. And by the way, we'll talk a little bit about our guests for 808 and 809 as well. We have a great guest coming up at the bottom of this show, Andrea Hertzberg, Cher and Ovarian Cancer. She's a 20-year survivor of late-stage ovarian cancer. We'll talk to her about what that means and what you can do and what you can do for your friends if they have this problem too. And generally sharing the care in general, why that's so important for women as well as guys. We're going to talk next time. 808 is with Amy Myers, the great Amy Myers, who will talk to us about the thyroid connection, why you feel tired, brain fogged, and overweight, and how to get your life back. But that's also the Well Beyond Wellness segment of this first thing. That's the first thing is the podcast where we go over the news of the week. Thyroid problems are linked to the risks of sudden cardiac death, what that means for you, and why are thyroid problems in both men and women so common now? Our wellness foreplay. Obesity rates fall in 4 states. How are you and your state doing? Secrets of sustained weight loss from Age Proof. The wellness foreplay. More U.S. adults. That's 4, the number 4 play. More U.S. adults are using pot. Are there perceptions of risk realistic? And the odd omegas, can you safely lose weight while breastfeeding? Let's get right to it. Obesity rates fall in 4 states. There's some good news about obesity in the United States for a change. Not much good news. Obesity overall still rising. But 4 states, Minnesota, Montana, New York, and Ohio. I can't believe it, looking through the airport in Ohio, that our obesity rates are falling. But it says they are, according to a recent report. Colorado, the slimmest state, with just 20% of its population in the obese category. You go back to 1991, no state had a rate above 20%. Now no state has a rate below 20%. That's right. And this 13th annual report shows that the rate of obesity now exceeds 35% in 4 states. You can guess the lead state. Take a minute. Yep. A few seconds. I won't give you a full minute. It's Louisiana. And rates are above 30% in 25 states and in all states above 20%. And obesity does remain the most significant epidemic our country and maybe the world has faced, contributing to millions of preventable illnesses and billions of dollars in avoidable health care costs. This is something we can do about by just walking, but you've got to also do portion size and food choices, because food intake can always overwhelm calorie output with exercise. A quickie, can you safely lose weight while breastfeeding? The answer is yes, but make sure breastfeeding is established before starting any weight loss plan. Your child and you should already have bonded. And studies show that exercise is not effective alone. You're going to lose a couple hundred calories a day just by the baby breastfeeding. That's a great thing. And if you continue your prenatals, make sure you continue the prenatals with DHA in them so your baby gets enough of that important DHA to not get depression in you or the baby. So continue your prenatals, then a little calorie restriction, gradually losing 300 or 400 more calories a day off your normal diet, will get you to lose a pound a week, the ideal weight. The key story this week, thyroid problems are linked to sudden cardiac death. This again is podcast 807, and our key story looked at 10,318 people who were 45 and older, both men and women. And they found that when they had hyperthyroidism or were given thyroxine, it increased the rate of sudden cardiac deaths by fourfold. You know, you can link this with the sudden death, if you will, of Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer was also died a sudden cardiac death, and maybe it's an abnormal heart rhythm that causes it. And we think that in the majority of cases. But thyroid disease is associated, or thyroxine administration and hyperthyroidism, fourfold increase, 4% over a 10-year period of people receiving thyroxine, as opposed to 1% of those not. The main worry of this study is that people won't get the appropriate thyroid medication. If you are hormone deficient, you need more, and we guide you with more based on how you're feeling rather than on a number. This just says we've got to do something to monitor your heart rate rhythm so you don't have sudden cardiac death. Another story this week of importance: a growing number of U.S. adults are using pot, but are their perceptions of risk realistic? Virtually everyone knows marijuana use in the United States has increased. This was a study of 500,000 people, and whether you call it weed or, I'm learning some new words, weed or ganga or pot, whatever you call marijuana, facts about increased risks and benefits seem harder to come by than a sober fan at a Willie Nelson concert. But facts we need. More than 31 million U.S. adults now smoke marijuana with some regularity, and 8.5 million use it a lot, according to a recent study that's been published looking at a million folks and surveying them. In fact, more than a million and a quarter, 1.246 million folks in 24 states have authorized prescriptions for medical marijuana. That's about a third of a percent of all Americans. Plus, the National Institute of Drug Abuse estimates that 45% of 12th graders and 16% of 8th graders have smoked marijuana at least once, and 6%, 1% smoke it daily. That's 6% of 12th graders and 1% of 8th graders smoke it daily. Now, there's a problem there, because it inhibits brain development if it's smoked in guys before age 24 and women before, while still in your teenage years, before age 20. So don't smoke it then. And from 2002 to 2014, the percentage of adults using marijuana jumped from 10.4 to 13.3%. Those using it daily went from 1.9 to 3.5%. That means about 31.5 million adults are using marijuana, with 8.4 million of us using it a lot. There are a lot of statistics, but basically the use has gone up. Ironically, the perception of its harm has not. It goes in reverse order. More people using it for chemotherapy or for pain or for Parkinson's disease, the more we think it doesn't have risk, but it does. And let's go over some of the risks. Any smoke, whether from a wood fire, cigarette joint, delivers toxins to your lung, and inhaling deeply and holding your breath when smoking, and we do that with marijuana, hookah parlors, that causes you to get inflammation. In addition, ammonia in pot smoke at levels are up to 20 times those of tobacco. And that occurs with hydrogen cyanide and aromatic amines that are much greater than that, 3 to 5 times greater than that of tobacco smoke. So, what does this mean? Well, it means that frequent use is likely to cause lung damage over time. And so while you may feel, and by the way, these hydrocarbons and the inflammation they cause, whether from tobacco or from marijuana, one joint, by the way, equals 4 cigarettes from a inflammation standpoint, those get to contribute inflammation throughout your body, your back, your joints, your arteries, your brain. So while you may feel less back or joint pain while smoking marijuana, it increases the pain you need relief from. The same inflammatory molecules, and this is really the key, the same don't affect you when you take pot in oral or edible form. So clearly, if you're going to use marijuana, you're better off eating it than smoking it. But beware, you got to lock it up because kids' access to brownies gets overdoses, and those overdoses are dangerous because the marijuana edibles are pretty darn concentrated, and you don't want to have them pick up some food that's just hanging on around, if you will. Now, don't go over the line, and remember that marijuana does impair driving and does permanently damage the brain if you smoke it and you're a guy under 24 or you're a woman under the age of 20 and smoke it regularly. Okay, let's go to the next story. Starchy enters the race to be the sixth taste. What are the tastes? Well, we have five basic tastes: sweet, sour, salty, bitterness, and umami or savory. So starchy is trying to compete as the sixth taste. I don't know why we care about it, but that's the news story. Gatorade shakes up the sports drink industry by going organic. Why do you care about this? Well, don't be fooled. Gatorade is really liquid candy. Each 16.9-ounce bottle of G Organic has 7 teaspoons of added sugar, which is more than the 6-teaspoon daily limit. So even if you have it, you got to nurse it for a full day, because otherwise it increases your blood sugar level to a level that's dangerous for you, causing inflammation in the long time. Maybe that's why athletes develop joint problems and inflammation and decay. You know, when you look at basketball players, you wonder, why can't they keep jumping? Is it what is it with age? Maybe it is not only that they jump too much, but maybe it's the inflammation added to that jumping with sugar. More people are avoiding gluten despite lack of medical need to avoid gluten. Yep, it's still one in about 0.69% of people, or one in about 150, are gluten sensitive. That is, meaning they have either celiac disease or true intolerance to gluten. But over 1% of people have gone gluten-free. So this is a radical increase. It is from 0.52% of a population to now 1.7% of the population is gluten-free, while celiac disease rates have remained the same. Why? Well, maybe they're feeling better when they go gluten-free. Remember, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Amy Hertzberg in a few minutes on Share and ovarian cancer, why sharing the burden, why talking to others who've had a cancer, whether it is ovarian or other cancers, but she's a 20-year survivor of ovarian cancer, is important. This is Podcast 807 on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Podcast 808, we're going to talk to Amy Myers, The Thyroid Connection, why you feel tired, brain fogged, and overweight, and how to get your life back. And we're going to talk to her in that context of that great article on what to do to prevent sudden death. Amy Myers is a physician who's really a super doc. By the way, vitamin B12 is also listed as protection for the aging brain. Yeah, we malabsorb. We don't absorb vitamin B12 as we get older. But your general multivitamin, especially the multivitamin, men's over 50, women's over 50, you do fine with that. You get plenty. You don't need extra. Yes, if you're short of vitamin B12, you don't have as good brain function, especially B12 and B6 and B9. Those are work together. But if you get a multivitamin, half in the morning, half in the evening, with half a glass of warm water before and after, and maybe a little 2-baby aspirin at the times of one or the other of those, the aspirin lasts a longer time, and it's better to take it at night if you're only going to take it once, at least theoretically. But B12, do you need extra? Do you need a lot? Well, you do need some in a multivitamin. Does more do you harm? No. But there's no need to get more than is in the multivitamin, and you need some balance in your B vitamins, so that's why a multivitamin works well, and you absorb the crystalline B12 without the intrinsic factor that your body loses as it ages. We're now going to talk to, in a few seconds, our guest, who is, as I said, Andrea Hertzberg. She's an ovarian cancer survivor and a spokesperson for SHARE. Next week on podcast 808, we'll be talking with the great and wonderful doctor. I love her, and because she's, one, so knowledgeable, and two, so down-to-earth and practical. The author of The Autoimmune Solution, but this book is The Thyroid Connection. Thyroid disease and probably type 2 diabetes are both have some autoimmune connections with them. Amy Myers is going to talk to us about how to get management of that. Podcast 809, The Power of When. Discover your chronotrope, the best time to eat lunch, to ask for a raise, have sex, write a novel, take your meds, by one of my other favorite doctors, Dr. Michael Bruce, who I still have his book here by my side all the time on sleep. Michael Bruce is the sleep doctor, but he also is written a new book, The Power of When, Discover Your Chronotrope, for the best time to eat lunch, ask for a raise, have sex, write a novel, take your meds. That's in podcast 808. But this is podcast 807. And just to refresh, we've talked about the Well Beyond Wellness. Thyroid problems are linked to sudden cardiac death. You have to do something if you're taking thyroid medicine to monitor your heart arrhythmias, and that is abnormal heartbeats, and to prevent that sudden death. And we did have a person with those arrhythmias die suddenly. I don't know if he was taking thyroid medicine or not, but Arnold Palmer did die before his time recently, the great golfer. By the way, you contrast him with Gary Player or Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus can't swing, and very seriously impaired, I understand. But Gary Player, who's done wellness stuff his entire life, still playing golf, shot a 2-under par a couple weeks ago. Remarkable. He plays constantly, beautiful practice, beautiful teaching, intent on spreading wellness. So Gary Player, of the Player Nicklaus Palmer battles, Gary Player still doing well because I believe he embraced doing the right things for his body all along. Obesity rates fall in 4 states: Minnesota, Montana, New York, and Ohio. I can't believe Ohio. But that's the wellness foreplay. Wellness for the number foreplay. More adults are using pot. I don't think they realize the perceptions of smoking it, the risk of that. Take it in edible form if you want to use it. And the auto omegas, can you safely lose weight while breastfeeding? Absolutely. And now we're going to come and talk to our guest. The guest of the week is Andrea Hertzberg. And now on podcast 807 of You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, it's Andrea Hertzberg, our special guest. SHARE and ovarian cancer. Andrea Hertzberg is a 20-year survivor of late-stage ovarian cancer, originally diagnosed at the age of 39 and born in Brooklyn, educated in public schools. Andrea graduated from the State University of New York at Albany and went to work in one of the local newspapers in Troy, New York, as well as with United Press International. Her second career was in community policing, and she retired after 20 years of doing that, and now has a career devoted to helping others with ovarian cancer. Let's find out more about how she got into this field. Shared SHARE does have a toll-free ovarian cancer helpline, so Andrea's role in that. Andrea, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Dr. Roizen, and I want to thank you for helping share, spread the word about ovarian cancer, that it does have symptoms, and how important it is for women to stay informed of what's happening in this field, to know their bodies, to take care of themselves, and to take action in the event of a health crisis. We really appreciate your time.
Now, as I understand it, and this is my rudimentary knowledge as a internist, not as a specialist or not having studied this, a lot of ovarian cancer relates to genetic abnormalities with BRCA1, BRCA2, and those relate to family history. So anyone with a family history of breast cancer at an early age, or BRCA, or ovarian cancer, or even pancreatic cancer, often in men, those are the people who really have to be very vigilant about this. Is that right?
Well, it's true that the people from families where there is a history of ovarian, colon, or breast cancer, especially diagnosed at younger ages, should be aware that they may be at a much more increased risk. That is absolutely true. But, you know, I have to point out that all women are at risk. You know, the risk for, of course, the general population is 1 in 70, 1 in 75 lifetime risk of ovarian cancer, which makes it one of the rarer cancers. As we know, breast cancer is 1 in 8. You know, every woman is at risk. And at SHARE, we like to say that low risk does not mean no risk, because the genetic, the hereditary cancers, really at this point, seem to account for, it's been going up as more and more people get tested, but it's like less than a quarter of ovarian cancer. So that leaves quite a few diagnoses that are going to be random, you know?
And now, what are the common symptoms, and what do women, should they go and think about seeing their physician or see their physician about? What symptoms?
Okay. It used to be called, and we're trying to dispel the myth, so I thank you for asking that question. It used to be called the silent killer, the disease that whispers, and only in recent years have the specialists in the field, our gynecologic oncologists and the women who are diagnosed, come up with the symptoms that actually do indicate that you should, be checking for and rule out or rule in ovarian cancer. Now, when I give you these symptoms, Dr. Roizen, and I just want to make sure that your listeners know, it's key to understand that these symptoms are worrisome if they are new and not normal for you. And if you've had these symptoms almost daily for several weeks, you know your own body, and then you should get yourself to a doctor. What makes it a challenging disease is that often these symptoms mirror less serious illnesses or other intestinal or stomach issues. But, you know your body, and it's new and not normal for you. And certainly if there's a history of any of those cancers that we mentioned, your doctor should be aware of them in advance. So let me get right to those.
These are things that tend to be persistent,
yes,
and are changes in your body. Now, the interesting thing is guys would deny that. Meaning, guys always say, well, I felt better. And so it's actually interesting that women, I do think, know their own bodies and are more sensitive to the changes and the persistence than guys are.
Well, I think it's an individual thing, men and women. Some people have a tendency to maybe not put themselves first or want to ignore, something that's different because what if. But, peace of mind is everything, and I think it's better to know, certainly in the case of a diagnosis as serious as this, you want to get good opinions and start treatment right away. And, if it's something else less serious, you want to take care of it. So let me get right to those symptoms, which are bloating, pelvic or abdominal pain, difficulty eating or feeling full quickly, like you normally can finish, the whole soup or the whole, portion, and now you feel full very quickly. The urinary symptoms, which means you have to go with great urgency or great frequency. certainly in my experience, you know, when I was diagnosed 20 years ago, I did experience the bloating, and I did experience a change in the shape of my abdomen, actually, at the above my belly button, where it looked like a little faucet was poking out. Unfortunately, most of the cases of ovarian cancer are diagnosed in the later stages when it's harder to treat, and that's the reason for that is simply that we just do not have an effective early screening test for ovarian cancer like we do for cervical cancer, which would be the Pap smear. The Pap smear is the poster child of great early screens, but we don't have that for ovarian cancer yet. They haven't tried. It's just that they're looking for something that's effective for the general population. Of course, it's very different if you're at a higher risk, like such as a family history, or we can get into the other risk factors whenever you'd like.
Now, as people know, this is podcast 807, but on my podcast, You the Owner's Manual radio show, you can email me questions for our guests. I post or tweet the guest a week in advance, and you can ask questions. Some of you have for Andrea Hertzberg. So one of the questions, Andrea, people have asked is, what were your symptoms and what was the support group when you were going through it? So that is why, and basically there are a couple questions saying, what got you motivated to do what you're doing now?
Oh, that's very lovely. Well, let's start with my symptoms. As I said, this top of the shape of my stomach changed, and I was not somebody who ever ignored, you know, I was a busy working mother of a young child in a very challenging job, but I always kept my medical appointments. I always saw my gynecologist yearly. I always kept up with my primary care doctor, and I was aware of my family history. And I know you started off the show by talking about the BRCA genetic mutation, and way back when my father was diagnosed with colon cancer in the 1980s, they really did not know about this link. But the science has progressed. My doctor was aware, and I was going to start colonoscopies, actually, 10 years earlier than the general population. So general population, the advice is 50. I was going to start at 40. I was 39 when these symptoms appeared. I think both my primary care and I were more worried about colon cancer. But he sent me to a very good internist, actually, and that internist said, no, we have to have a transvaginal ultrasound for you because I want to clear you gynecologically, and which surprised me. It was a time of great stress, and you know, it's a devastating diagnosis to get when you're young or any age, actually. And we knew from the transvaginal ultrasound, and I was able to consult immediately with two gynecologic oncologists, and that's, I want to tell women out there that if you hear the word suspicious with any of the under-the-belt gynecologic conditions, if it's ever suspicious for a malignancy, you should go confer with a gynecologic oncologist. These are the men and women who are specially trained to treat women's cancers, and outcomes are better if you see these experts.
So we'll come back to that in a second, Andrea. I just want to bring on an important, really important issue that you brought up to the forefront, and it's one of our key issues on You, the Owner's Manual radio show, is whenever something is going to happen to you that's going to last more than 3 days, get a second opinion.
Yes, that's sure. We really do encourage that. Yep.
And get it from an expert if you can. So I want to bring that up again, Andrea. So you got to a expert, and then you had, I assume you had surgery at that time when you aged 39?
Yes. The bad thing about, there's good news and bad news always. You know, the good news about ovarian cancer is it's rare. The bad news is it's diagnosed at later stages most often. But the good news is that, you know, over the decades, the experts in our field know that, you know, how to do these extensive surgeries to remove everything that they can see, and the chemotherapeutic agents that are on the market, ovarian cancer seems to respond at a high rate. Not every time, and there's a lot of agents in the arsenal, and we actually have had two new therapeutic agents, which aren't technically chemotherapy. One is an anti-angiogenesis drug, which prevents the vascular system from growing to support a tumor. That's one of the new treatments that has been approved by the FDA in recent years. And a new class of drugs, which actually exploit the weakness that are caused by the genetic mutation. So they're particularly effective for women who carry the hereditary mutation. That class of drugs is called PARP inhibitors, and research on that has really, quite frankly, exploded. You know, there are things that are being done.
So that's lucky. One of the reasons why getting that second opinion from a real expert in this field is so important. And because it isn't that common, you really want to get to an expert in this field. How does Share help that? Now, Share has a toll-free line.
Yes,
right?
And
I assume
very
you
proud.
Have a list of experts in the field as well. What's the toll-free line?
Well, here's what it is. Share our toll-free ovarian helpline number, which is staffed 7 days a week by committed, passionate, good listeners who are all ovarian cancer survivors. So this is a volunteer helpline. But, you know, everybody is trained and informed of on the latest research and techniques and also how to listen, because every caller is unique. And, you know, you don't have to have an illness to call in. Somebody may just be worried about symptoms or have an issue, any kind of issue, and we can try to get you local resources. So let me just give you that number. It is 866-537-4273. 866-537-4273. Share also has a wonderful website, which is Share, S-H-A-R-E, Cancer Support, all one word, .org.
ShareCancerSupport.org.
Right. So, you know, when we get calls from all over the country, and of course it's not, you know, it's not a sound policy for us to recommend specific gynecologic oncologists, but the Foundation for Women's Cancers, which is the recently merged with the professional organization of the Society of Gynecologic Oncologists, they have a search engine, and we help women. We'll either point them to that website, or we can, you know, do the search for them if they don't have a computer access. And it will allow you to put in a zip code and put in, you know, however many miles, you know, you're willing to go. And, you know, all the board-certified gynecologic oncologists in an area will come up.
And so that is Share. The helpline, 866-537-4273. And the website is, again?
Share Cancer Support, all one word, .org. You know, you had an interesting question from a caller. What kind of support did I have when I was diagnosed? Well, you know, first of all, I had excellent doctors and medical team. But, you know, it's very funny. Like, you know, I had a late stage, like 75% of the cases, you know. So, you know, going in, it's going to be an uphill battle. And, you know, many of us long-term survivors who are on the helpline, you know, we feel like we're very lucky, not that we got the disease, but that we were able to do well, you know, despite this diagnosis. And I think, you know, there's a general manager in baseball, Branch Rickey, and he once said, luck is the residue of design. This is why we tell women you've got to be prepared to advocate for yourself, to find the experts, to put together a medical team that you trust, to share, to communicate with your medical team during your treatment. You know, share with them any side effects. You know, there's so many, you know, people have a misconception about what the treatment is going to be like and what, you know, how they're going to, you know, deal with the side effects. And in true fact, there are so many, you know, meds on the market that help you. And there's so many ways to cope, and it's really, you know, key to have good communication. It's wonderful if you have support from family and friends and people who are, you know, normally not the kind of people to ask for help. When they can accept help at a time when they're going through treatment is a great thing. Support groups are, to me, very key. 20 years ago, there weren't so very many for gyn cancer or for ovarian cancer. Now that's changed. You know, Share has support groups in the five boroughs of New York City, but we have a listing. When callers call in from all over the country, we can help you find a support group that, you know, hopefully that you'll feel comfortable with. And if there are no local support groups for you, there's options online and on teleconferencing, on phone. You know, and, you know, Share was there for me. My first support group was men and women with all different kinds of cancers. But when at a certain point, I really needed to find other women who had been through this, and Share was there for me when I was diagnosed. And that's why it's my pleasure. I retired after 26 years at the NYPD, that I was able to, you know, get on board with Share and have these wonderful, wonderful volunteers that can help so many women in so many ways.
I want to tell you, one of my favorite books of all time has been Share the Care, which we often give to other people who develop devastating diseases or while they're recovering, because Share the Care talks about how to organize a group to care for someone who is seriously ill. So I like the sharecancersupport.org. But one of the authors we've had on is Cappy Capasella, but the book is Share the Care. It's about 10 years old, so we're buying a lot of them that are sold, but it is a paperback book, so Share the Care is an important thing. Most of the people now on this hotline have gone through some serious treatment. Is that right?
Yes, of course, yeah, because, you know, it only 15% of ovarian cancers are caught in the early stage, you know, because of that lack of that early screening test. That's what the issue is there. It's just not something effective at this time across the board for the general population. So you really have to be aware of your body and know those symptoms and get to a doctor and check it out. And the women on the helpline are all survivors, you know. We have some that were caught at early stages. And that's another thing that Share does that's very wonderful and, you know, sort of unique, which is that if you call up and you say, well, it's really great that you've had this experience, but I'm having this other experience. Do you have anybody who's taken this drug? Do you have anybody who was diagnosed and had young children at the time? Do you have anybody, you know, you can name the situation, and we do our best to have a peer call that person back, somebody on the helpline, affiliated with the helpline, who matches their situation more closely than maybe the initial person who returned their call when they left their initial message.
So let me give the website again. It's sharecancersupport.org, and the Share helpline, 866-537-4273. It is Share and Ovarian Cancer. I want to thank Andrea Hertzberg for coming on and for doing what she does. One of these days, we'll talk about community policing with her. But in the meantime, I want to thank you very much. Ovarian cancer, serious condition, often discovered late. The symptoms, bloating, not being able to get as much in, ovarian pain, as she said, that are persistent, don't go away. Know your body, seek help, and seek expert help if that's the diagnosis. Thank you very much, Andrea. This is podcast 807 of You, the Owner's Manual radio show on RadioMD.com. What were our top stories of the day other than share the care? It was well beyond wellness. Thyroid problems are linked to a fourfold increase in sudden death. What that means is that if you're taking thyroxine or have a hyperthyroid condition, make sure someone is monitoring you for arrhythmias and has told you how to manage them and to look for them in yourself. Wellness foreplay, obesity rates fall in four states, Montana, Minnesota, New York, Ohio. I can't believe Ohio. There is no state now with less than 20% obesity. Just 34 years ago, there was no state. Actually, it's 24 years ago. That's right. Just 24 years ago, there was no state with more than 20% obesity. Now, no state less. The thinnest state, Colorado. Get a buddy and get thin. Wellness foreplay, that is the number foreplay. More adults are using pot. Are perceptions of risk realistic? No, probably not. Remember, if you're taking it for medical reasons, the edible forms much safer for you than the smoking forms, but lock it up because kids are getting overdosed with it. The Adomegas, can you safely lose weight while breastfeeding? The answer is yes, but make sure you continue your prenatal multivitamin with DHA so you have plenty of the healthy fats for both you and your child and the healthy vitamins. This is Dr. Mike Roizen, you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Remember, you can take control of your body and live life to the fullest and live it longer and with a younger real age. Thanks for listening.